Thanks, guys. Amen. Give somebody a fist pump. You may be seated. Appreciate it. I mean, they put the Rocky song on for me. Let's go. I might have to do a plank. Can I get one of those towels? One of those towels, if I may. I just want to put my iPad on it. Well, good morning, guys. I like it. Pastor Mike, you gave us a new thing now. Our conference is going to be beast mode and priest mode. We do beast mode things, and we do priest mode things. We build the outer man and the inner man. I was just leaning over to Pastor Mike, and I was like, you know they don't do this stuff at the women's conference. Maybe doing no plank challenges at the women's conference and push it. Only the guys, and we get fired up. You want to know why? Because there's something in every man that we are designed to win. And I'm telling you right now, by you being here this morning, you're winning. Come on, clap, clap, clap. Tell three guys, say you're winning. Say we're winning, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning. You're winning because you're here today. You've been in a lot of places. And listen, not diminishing anything else. I know many of you guys took time off of work. Maybe you had to, you know, reschedule some appointments for some clients or some business things. And you might view like, man, I missed out on something. I'm telling you, you ain't missed out on nothing. Because what we're doing these 2 days is we are building something that the enemy and the world is trying to steal from you. It's trying to tear you down. It's trying to break down the man. And so when we come into moments like this, we're saying we want to be built into the manhood God called us to be. Because here's the real talk. The world isn't teaching us how to be men. They want to teach you how to be a playboy. And oftentimes the examples that we're learning of becoming men are from ungodly examples. And we need to come back to what is the biblical man. Like, I remember a time in my life, and I'll get into the teaching here in a second. I want to prep what I'm going to share this morning. I'm sure they handed out everything. And this morning, I'm doing this like we do on Saturday, more seminar style. So going to be a lot of fill in the blanks. Going to be some conversations you're going to have within your tables. Because last night when we talked about men stepping out into a brotherhood, we were just talking in the back room with Pastor Michael. Like, he's like, man, about 90% of the hands went up of men. They're like, I don't want to do this battle alone. I want a brotherhood. Come on, clap, because there's a brotherhood in this house. Amen. So there's a reason why we do round tables, not rows, for the men's conference. And pretty much we're out of space. That's why we need to get a new building. Hold on, we'll come this Sunday, we'll talk about all that. But the reason, yeah, I appreciate that, brother. Come on, somebody. Thank you for the faith. Amen. We do round tables because it's a conversation that a lot of us, the truth is, you already have your circle, but oftentimes they're not the right circle. You know, you have your circle in the garage. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're just in the wrong circle. And so part of my mission of our man conference is I want to put men in the right circles. Listen, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect, okay? Ain't no guy here perfect. So, okay, we had to shave a few guys' horns when they came in because I'm just going to mess with you, right? We ain't got no halos over our head. Listen, we're all working out our salvation with fear and trembling. I'm trying to build my family just like you're trying to build your family. I'm trying to deal with my crazy wife like you're trying to deal with your crazy wife. Just joking. Come on, somebody. Amen. Yeah, that was about the realest thing I said this morning. I'm joking, all right? I love my wife, but she's human too. Like, I'm trying to deal with my crazy kids and you're trying to deal with your crazy kids. Come on, somebody, okay? All of us, okay, all of us in this room, but we need somewhere, listen to me, something that's feeding us, because everything's trying to take from you, and you ain't going to win it by yourself. There's no lone wolf. Can you imagine somebody being like, I'm going to take on the whole army by myself? You're trying to be Rambo. That's a movie, bro, okay? Yeah, there's no Rambo in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you succeed by who's to your left and who's to your right. Oh, you ought to clap right there. By who has your back and who's willing to get into the fight with you. And I'll tell you what, all these guys up here, I'm like, they were like, some guys are prepared. You guys are awesome. Just clap one more time. I'm like, just the mindset, you know, all you guys, all everything. I'm just pushing through that. But that's what this is. And I want to bring that because I last night I said, who's here for the first time? I think there were like a lot of hands that went up. And you might think, well, what is this room? This is a unique room within our church ministry here that builds men. We got a holistic ministry. The women have their thing. The students have what they do. The kids' conference just happened. But this room is for men. So I'm going to say it one more time. It's for men. We have a man talk. We have a man talk, okay? And I don't know about you, but when we have man talk, don't expect me to be like a mama. Oh, here we go. Okay. So before I go to that table, I gotta set the tone. Because some of you want me to be mama. Come here. How are you, baby? Oh. Oh, you're going to be okay. What happened? What? Mama's at home. I come to man you up a little bit. Come on. I'm going to ruffle you up a little bit. Oh, come on. Don't look at me like that. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Okay. You got to be, because see what happens, we have a culture that understands a mother's love, but understand a father's love. Okay. Now, don't get weird. You don't have to call me dad. So don't get weird, okay? So I'll be like, don't get weird, all right? But I understand the role I play in people's lives to teach you God's word from a male father figure that you perhaps never had in your life. And I got to tell you the way God would want you to have it. Or perhaps you had a father figure that didn't teach you the biblical way. Say amen. So a father's love, sometimes we look at it like, oh, I don't want, you know, this and that, but it's going to lead you to strength, okay? It's not, I'm not going to diminish you, but I have to be straight with you. We can't, like, please, would you give me permission up here not to be like trying to just, oh, I don't want to offend nobody. Can we just, come on, somebody, come on. I need your permission, okay? I love you. Listen, I love you, man. I believe in you, every single one of you. I was praying for this. I mean, I've been seeking God. We've been fasting, and I'm like, I want to give these men something I never had in my life. And I've spent 15 years. This week is 15 years I've been pastoring Freedom Out Church. To God be the glory. Amen. And I want to have this conversation with you of what God's word said. And so, tell the guy next to you, don't be soft. What's that? Okay. All right. So. Don't be stopped, okay? So if I offend you, I did my job. Okay. So if you're like, ouch, I did my job. In fact, just so you know, that's good parenting. I was with meeting with the counselor that I go to, my wife and I go to, and oh, by the way, that's okay to have counseling. Some of you are like, are you okay? I'm fine. But how many know you need to take the car in for maintenance? But see, that's the problem. Some of y'all, nobody can speak into you, and that's your problem. See, already, we're already there. I'm already there. See? You're like, what? See, that's your problem. Yeah, I let the counselor beat me up. I said, tell me what I'm doing wrong. I'm ready. Go ahead. Come on. And so my wife and I, he's a PhD doc. He counsels a lot of, we're blessed. I'm not trying to say it here, but we're blessed to have him in our life. He counsels a lot of pastors across the nation. And my wife and I, he was speaking to us, and this is what he told me. He says, you know you're being a good parent if your kids are mad at you at least 2 to 3 times a week. You're welcome. See, come on, somebody, that's it. He says, you know. He says, now that's not because you're being rude to them, but because of your rules. Why? You're a good parent. So this morning, if I get you mad about 2 or 3 times, I'm a good pastor. I'm trying to help you, okay? And so that goes, and many of you know, I have a pastoral board of advisors, you know, Pastor Benny, Pastor Obed, people that are speaking in my life. And I always say this, I love when I give people access. Pastor Benny just recently told me this. He says, you know what your problem is? I didn't go, what? I'm offended. You're supposed to show me love. He said, Josiah, you know what your problem is? That's how he started the conversation. I go, this is going to be a good one right now. This is going to be really hot. Pastor Mike, won't Pastor Benny do that? Yeah. He'd tell me, he goes, you know what your problem is, Josiah? He just started drilling into me. I didn't go home, take my ball. I don't want to play no more. I said, thank you, sir. I can tell you what he told me. That's between me and him. Come on, somebody. Amen. Well, what did he tell you? None of your business. I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling, okay? I'm saying, that's me and my connect group, all right? You see what your problem is? Bang, 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 bang. And I'm going to be honest with you. Like, real talk, bro. My flesh wanted to be like, no, see what happened. Because I was all. But my maturity had to kick in and say, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm going to take that to heart. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to change that. Because we lost that. The world's trying to make us soft men. where nobody can speak in. If you're the only person that can talk to your own head, you're already on your way to destruction. But let me build you up. The very fact that you're in this room, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We're winning, we're winning, we're winning. So much so for those that are married, those that are gonna get married, or those young men that one day will be married, when you come to a room like this, your wife will wanna follow you more. Ask me why. Because she knows somebody speaking into your life. Like, who's leading you? But if you're like, I lead me and that's it, your wife's like, I'm not following that because I see how crazy you are. Come on, somebody. Oh, see, already getting offended. I'm not crazy. I see some of the dumb things you bought. See, you didn't like that one. Some of the signs that you don't get, she tries to tell you and you still don't get it. So she's like, why would I follow you if you have nobody leading you? No, where do you get poured into? Say amen. Come on, somebody. So when you go home today and you're like, oh man, I just got, here's what you don't want to say. I'm going to help you have a good Saturday night. Married men, single men, stay holy. Come on, somebody. Just put your zipper up. Amen. That's it. I'm going to talk to you real. Ladies, if you're in the room, you can leave right now if you want, because it's a men's meeting, right? Okay. Like, yeah. Which, by the way, if you're not married, you shouldn't be sleeping together. Bottom line. Like, straight up. I got one clap from the side over here. Amen. What are you doing? You're supposed to honor her purity, not take it from her. Amen, Pastor. Here we go. What are you doing? You're messing yourself up and her. And that's why when you get married, you end up committing adultery because you didn't know how to control your flesh when you were dating. Hello, somebody. Good preaching. So if you're married tonight, say you have a good night. When you go home today and she says, how was it? Don't be like, oh, it's good. Don't do that. You ruined an opportunity. You ruined it, bro. When you get home and your wife says, so how was it? Be like, I'm ready to lead you in a new way. She's gonna be like, what you say? I'm ready to lead in a new way. To be the man I know God wants me to be for this family. She's gonna be like, Papi, come on. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. I'm gonna help you. Adam, how do you practice that? But see, we don't get it sometimes. Why? Because no one taught us this stuff. Not exactly. If I had a mic, I'd drop it. It's on my head. Come on. Nobody taught us this stuff. All we see is, you know, what we learn from other men. They're like, just tell her what to do. It's like, bro, that doesn't work. Especially on Latin women. Just joking. Come on, somebody. Like, hey, bro, that ain't going to work. At least not in American women. Like, woman, get in there. It's like, what you call me? You know, it's over, bro. It's over. You lost. Done. You know, I told you, no, don't do that, bro. Nobody taught us this stuff. Nobody taught us, like especially if you were raised in a dysfunctional family. I was raised in Section 8 housing, and you know, my dad was addicted. He was addicted. He'd blow his whole paycheck every Friday. Every Friday, he'd go to the horse races, gamble his whole paycheck, come home drunk, yell at my mom saying, don't tell me what to do, woman, I make the money. That's what I do. Yeah, foolish. And he'd tell me, this is what he'd tell me in the car. He said, you know what? Women don't know what they're talking about. You just got to live your life. That got in my head. How dumb is that? Now, I'm just telling you the reality of what I know many of you live in. That's what I live. So here I go thinking, I'm just going to tell them what to do. I get saved and get saved. That stuff don't work. So we have to learn this stuff. That, yeah, yo, I was raised with brothers. I got to remember that my wife is not one of my bros. Thank God. I didn't marry a man. I married a woman. Some of y'all, that's half your problem. You're like, why does she do that? Because you didn't marry a man, bro. Thank God. You got to clap right there. Amen. Thank God. Be like, thank God she don't think like me. Thank God she's not tough. And if you're not careful, OK, Okay, I'll get to the single guys back in a minute. Don't worry. If you're not careful, you will make her heart so hard that you will regret being so tough. That's what the Bible says. You gotta treat her as the weaker vessel. I mean, she's a weaker vessel because she don't bench as much as you. Well, some guys nowadays, just joking. Come on, hey, that's messed up, huh? That's messed up. Hey, single guys, you wanna get married? Here's how. Get a J-O-B, get a C-A-R, okay? Get an A-P-T, go to the G-Y-M. Amen, all right? And you gotta make yourself followable. Brush your teeth. Come on, somebody. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm serious. I know. I'm telling you, next time, I already said, next man conference, I'm going to do a breakout for guys, young men, how to show up to an interview. I'm not joking. I'm going to show you guys how to tie a tie. I'm telling you the God honest truth, how to tie a tie and what's the right things to say. Because I'm starting to realize that they call it the fallen generation. It's like, you went to the interview how? Like, exactly, in sandals? Like, are you out of your mind? Like, bro, you didn't even iron your shirt, bro? If you want to make a million, look like a million. Oh, here we go. Come on. Okay? Anyway, come on. I'm all over the place, but Lord help me. All right. We might be here till tonight till we get this right. I'm joking. Come on. We're going to watch film on this. Come on. Amen. You got to get, so back to what I'm saying is we weren't taught this stuff. So I know I got a lot to go over, guys, and I'm going to do the best I can. We make a conference and I still feel like we don't have enough time. Lord help me. All right. So we're going to continue this conversation throughout the whole year, but today we're going to dive into this. So what I put together for you guys is I'm calling it the kingdom man. So get to your notes and let's read this, okay? I'm going to talk to you today. I know you probably saw how many pages. We're going to do a seminar style. We're going to do some fill in the blanks. I'm going to have you talk within your tables for a few points, and we're going to take this as much time. Don't worry, we'll have plenty of time to do some more of the competitions. We're doing beast mode, but then we're also doing priest mode, okay? So I need that same intensity at this moment. So don't take away the intensity right here. Right now you're working on that inner man. Say amen. Amen. So here's the first verse. I told you it's the verse of our conference here. Revelation 1:6, the Bible says, and he made us, what he make us? What? He made us kings and what? And priests. Tell the guy next to you, you're a king and a priest. Say that. So you're a king? Okay. You're a king and a priest, okay? We're the priests of our home. We are to carry the spiritual temperament. Stop. Listen to me. You are the leader of your home, not your wife, okay? You are the leader of your home. If you're a single man, you have to learn to lead your life right now, okay? You have to learn how to lead your finances, your life right now. Then when God sees fit, he will bring a woman into your life. Please don't bring a woman into your life if you're still in dysfunction. Please. You're going to ruin two people's lives. Say amen, okay? But you gotta have the spiritual temperament in your life. You have to set the tone. And I just want to say this: the men should be the ones telling their family, "Let's go to church." Not your wife. She shouldn't have to drag you out of bed. Come on, honey, let's go to church. You're out of order, man of God. Already mad at me. Here we go. Yeah. Already. You're supposed to go to if your wife has to get you out of bed to go to church. You're still a boy. You still want a mama. That's why she ain't following you. Okay, see, they're mad already. They're mad. They're getting the eyebrows. That's why she ain't following you, because she has to pull you out to be the priest. But when you'll step into being the priest, oh man, she'll follow you. And if she gives you any hard time on that, now let me tell you something. Don't worry, God will set her straight. Just say amen right there, okay? Amen. You should be the priest. You're setting the tone of that. And the Bible says we're kings. Say we're kings. Kings. Okay, I'm going to go quick here. I'm all over the place. I already took a lot of time on my introduction. But here's the meaning of kings. Just write it down, okay? Take notes as I'm saying. So priest is the spiritual temperature of your home. If you're not married, you still need to set the spiritual temperature of your life, okay? Whether it's if you're a high schooler, 16, 15, 14, 17, and if your family doesn't serve God, you got to set the spiritual temperature of your life. When I got saved at 15 years old, my family didn't serve God, but I set the spiritual atmosphere of my life, even though my whole house was ungodly. Say amen. Okay, so you have to learn to say it. Now, if you're married, you're the one who says, in this house, as for me and my house, that's right, we will serve the Lord. And you put that spiritual temperature. You're the one that should be leading your family in prayer. Okay? I'm real talk, okay? You're the one that says, this is how we do things here. That you're the example of that house. Now, to be a king, write this down. A king, okay? A king, so a priest sets the spiritual temperature of your home, and a king sets the principles. The principles and governance of your home. The principles and governance of your home. You're a king. You're a king. You're supposed to govern. You're supposed to go and expand. A king, and I'm gonna go quick here, a king knows how to have, you know, you can't run a kingdom if the kingdom doesn't have finance. Like, man of God, I'm gonna get practical here. Fix your credit. Okay, they didn't like that one. I know you speak in tongues, but you ain't gonna buy a house speaking in tongues. You cannot write, what are your skills on the mortgage application? I speak in tongues. I'm a tongue talker, devil stomper. They didn't like that one. They're gonna say, what's your credit? You have to get this in order. Your wife will follow a king and a priest. The world needs men of God that can expand. Come on, that have a mentality. Say amen. Pay your bills. A king governs. A king expands. A king is organized. Now, we're going to talk about all this, okay? I'm not asking you to fix it all in this morning, but we got to start targeting what are the areas that are going to unleash you to be a kingdom man, to be a king and a priest. Say, I'm a king and a priest. King and priest. Tell your guy next to you, you're a king and a priest. King and priest. This is the modern day man of God that is both spiritual and successful. And the world says, I don't know, but this your life, you have moral excellence and you crushing it in life. This is the Bible. But what happens is we've diluted the king and priest to just being a priest. Or we diluted it because some of y'all, you might be crushing it in the business world, but you got no spiritual temperament. You know how to build a business, but you don't know how to build a family. I'm preaching real good. You know how to develop an employee, but you don't have a relationship with your son. Hallelujah. Good preaching, Pastor. The Benjamites were powerful because they could fight with both hands. The Bible says the Benjamites, when they were battling, they didn't know that they could also fight with their left hand, and that's how they would win people. The modern day man of God are Benjamites. They can fight with, they're spiritually ambidextrous. Oh, come on, somebody. Spiritually ambidextrous. I can talk in tongues and I can go crush it in the business world, and whenever there's a need, I show up. Come on. And the kingdom man showed up. Say amen. Say amen. Tell the guy next to you, you gotta fight with both hands. Say, fight with both hands. I mean it, yeah. You're ambidextrous, left and right, left and right, left and right. You'll slap the devil like this and like this. You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir. And then the world says, there's just something about those kingdom men. When they open their mouth, they have wisdom from the word of God. And when they walk in life, they just have like this focus. Their family. I'm just going to tell you, that's been one of my life missions, is to exemplify that. That's why I do, you know, that's why I pastor Freedom House, and I'm raising my family, and I'm in real estate and investments. It's like, I want to show, one of my life missions is to show that you don't have to choose. It could be both and. You can raise your family. You can be spiritual. You can succeed in business. This last year, I had one of the best real estate years in my life. Bunch of haters. Four claps. All right, appreciate it. Thank you. Don't hate on, come on. Why you hating on me? No crabology here, bro. I had one of the biggest real estate years, had sold more real estate, helped more clients. I can't even say some of the names of people that called me saying, I want you to help. Like, and I was like, dude, God just had one of the best real estate years of my life. Four claps. All right, you're a bunch of haters, bro. Come on, somebody. Clap, clap, clap. I'm gonna clap for you. I'm gonna clap for you when it's your turn. Okay? I'm out here hustling too. I'm out there fishing. I'm out there closing deals, raising family. Now, I pray that that's you, all of us, okay? But both. We don't have to sacrifice our spirituality in the name of success. We can do both. Amen. Say king and priest. So what is a kingdom man? I'm going to jump straight to the first point. You'll see the fill in the blank. What is a kingdom man? A kingdom man seeks. What do you think the kingdom man seeks? The kingdom. I'm sorry, Paul. Oh, no, three stages of manhood. Oh, Lord, help me. Three stages. Okay, write this down. Three stages. Lord, help me. Okay, we just talking. Three stages of manhood. Write this down. The three stages. Number one is malehood. You don't need to do anything to be a male. God chose that. Okay? Don't let the devil confuse that. So I want to be sensitive to this. I don't just want to blow over this and bulldoze over it. But if you're in this room and you're questioning your identity, because it's a big thing today, okay? Especially amongst the next generation, because they're trying to feed them all of this, you know, what do you identify as? You know, you're a female in a male's body and all of this nonsense, to be quite honest with you, okay? But I want to be sensitive. You're in this room. You want, but why would God create me a male if I feel like a female? Okay, here's what happens. The enemy, the Bible says, throws fiery darts into your mind, trying to set a fire. Just because you feel something doesn't mean you are something. Okay, I'm trying to help you. So watch this. Ask me if I ever felt like slapping somebody. Ask me. Not in the last hour. Okay. Now, I'm not saying always, but I'll make another very harsh statement. But I have been so angry sometimes in my life that someone betrayed me that I felt like killing somebody. Like, I'm going to. When I met my dad after not seeing him for 20 years and he told me, let's just be friends, I felt like just ripping. I'm just going to stop. Sorry, too graphic. Okay, some of you are holy. Pray for me, okay? He left my mom. I mean, you know, I saw him hit my mom. I wanted to rip his eyes out of his head. And when I saw him, and now I was taller than him, and I knew I could knock him out. I'm like, I just hit him with a right. Here we go. Not you guys. Okay, okay. Okay, I felt it. I didn't do it. But because, am I a murderer because I felt it? No. So then my walker said, I'm a murderer because I felt like killing somebody. No, you are not a female just because you felt something. Come on, somebody, okay? Just because, so you got to learn to extinguish those fiery darts, okay? And say that, so what? Why didn't I do that to my dad? Because I said, I don't do that. I'm not like that. That's a big old testimony where I ended up forgiving him. We cried, and I would have loved to tell you that he came to church after. I didn't see him again for like 10 years. Because not everything has a little happy ending story like you think it does, okay? Sometimes the greatest things you do for God have no result. I can't explain it to you. That's very deep. That's about as deep as I can go right there. Had no great results. I wish to tell you that after that, we had this relationship when we watched all the games together and he hugged me and we played basketball. I didn't see him again for 10 years. But I knew that that's not who I was. I knew I'm a man of God now. I need to forgive him and move forward and be the man that I never had growing up. I'm talking to somebody right now. Say amen. So just because I felt it, just because you feel it doesn't mean you are that. So you be the male God called you to be. Amen. Okay. So, all right. Next one, you go from malehood to boyhood. That's when you're a boy. And many, this has nothing to do with age. You heard Pastor Mike say it yesterday. There's some 40-year-old boys because you have not matured out of that boyhood. Okay. That boyhood. And yeah, we're not raising boys. We're raising men. Okay. So like my sons, I have two sons, God bless them. I have two daughters as well, and I love them. I want to raise them to be women of God, but the best way I can raise them to be women of God is by showing them what a man of God is. How many have daughters that are not married? Raise your hand. Daughters that are not married. Okay. Father, I pray for that guy, all of us. Come on, see. Amen. Listen to me. Watch this. Daughters marry men like their fathers. Daughters marry men like their fathers. So when you meet your son-in-law, don't be so quick to get mad. Because man of God, you set in the standard. So don't get, you better set the standard real quick of how a man that she should look for, his standard. So that's why I take my daughter, I'm trying to bless her all the stuff. That way when little Papi Chulo shows up, little homeboy shows up, she'll be like, no, my daddy already hooked me up with all that. You have to go way up here. Come on, somebody, I'm trying to help you. Help you. Then, for all the daughters, I'm all over the place, but at this point, we just talking, all right? We just talking. And on top of that, for those that have daughters, your daughter is observing how a woman is treated by a man. How you treat her mama is how she will allow a man to treat her. My God. So if she calls you and he yelled at me, he did what? Because you yelled at her mom. You have to set the standard. Say amen. Amen. All right, cool. All right, done with that. Someone say boyhood. And the last one is manhood. Manhood. Okay, manhood. Not every man reaches manhood. Not every man, or let me say this, not every male reaches manhood. Okay? A lot of them stay stuck in boyhood. Boyhood, boyhood. What is boyhood? Boyhood, selfishness. What is boyhood? I just want mine. What is boyhood? Like my boys, I'm trying to teach them to be self-sufficient. Anybody got sons? Who, raise your hand if you have boys. You have boys, okay. All right, amen. And like, you know, when we're raising our sons, they want the world to revolve around them. Yeah, they think like I exist to serve them. Come on, somebody, amen. I'm trying to get them to be self-sufficient. Make your own food. Come on, somebody, amen. And then they get a little older, pay your own bills. Come on, talk to me, right? Manhood, it says you grow into a place where you are self-sufficient, okay? Like you have to be the person that isn't dependent on others, people depend on you. It's manhood, say manhood, okay? So a man, and we need to be at that level, I gotta move on here. A kingdom man, well, let's read this, Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the what? The kingdom, it says, and a God is righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. Write this down, a kingdom man, seeks what? The kingdom. That's right. A kingdom man seeks the kingdom. Write that down. A kingdom man will seek what? Kingdom. It'll seek the kingdom. It'll seek the kingdom. All right. You know what? I want to have some conversation. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Real quick at your tables. I want you to just have a quick conversation. Put a 3-minute timer up there. Okay. For me, because I want to make sure we're going to go quick. Here's the first conversation while you have at your table. What do you think keeps men stuck at boyhood and doesn't let them move on to manhood, let alone kingdom manhood? Talk about it real quick. Where are my table captains? Raise your hands if you're a table captain. Table captains, facilitate the conversation. Make sure everybody pitches in for at least 30 seconds. Ready, set, go. What keeps people at boyhood and doesn't let them get to manhood? What do you think in our generation keeps them at boyhood? Go. Because, like, what makes you a man? And I think that question is actually very subjective, because Our generation, like, what makes you a man? Okay, I'm not trying to be vulgar here, but if you were raised in a certain way of thinking, we think what makes you a man is when you finally have sex with a woman. Then you're a man, you know? And it's like, that's like your mark. And it's like, what the heck? So then your goal is you try to have sex with a bunch of women, you know? Because it makes you feel like a man. It's like, you're literally tearing your life apart. You're tearing your life apart. And for those that think, you know, what I'm saying is wrong, learn from somebody who will tell you they had sex with a bunch of women and they feel empty. And the truth is, what they're looking for is one woman to love them and not use them and build the kingdom and your legacy with. I'm telling you right now, that's the best life. Because you go thinking, oh, I'm gonna have sex with all these women, and you will realize that sex is like, you could be a freak for a little bit, but you're gonna end up, the Bible says sin has a payment due. The wages of sin is death. Yes, sir. And real love is when you find a woman to build a legacy with, build a family with, and come on, it goes to a deeper level. You ought to clap right there, amen, yeah. And you can have a lot of sex with that one woman. Don't worry, it's a lot of fun, go ahead, right? What makes you a man when you have sex? What makes you a man when you beat somebody up? When you just knock someone out. And so then you go through life always like, what you looking at? What you looking at? It's like, bro, chill, bro. Like, you're always like, what are you looking at? Like, nobody's looking at you, dude, okay? You had a booger in your nose. That's why. You know what I mean? Like, what makes you? So we get all these, like, some threshold. I just want to go back to what you're saying, Felix. Like, we compare, well, is it when I finally make 100K, or is it finally when I have a house, or is it finally when, you know, listen, what makes a man, listen to me here, is when you step into the biblical man, a man of God. Our threshold of what a man should be is, can you live the kingdom man? Okay, which leads me into my, yeah, you can clap right there. That's all right. Go ahead. The kingdom man, a fulfilled man, a legacy man. And so there is the gospel of salvation. I got to go quick here, okay? But the Bible tells us that the gospel, right, is what we're to give our lives to. The word gospel, write this down in your notes just somewhere, okay? Gospel means good news. Gospel, it means good news. It's the Greek word is evangelion, which means evangelism, the good news, right? So the gospel, we're preaching the good news, right? And so the good news, Jesus preached the good news. Now, there's only one gospel, which is Jesus. But I'm going to show you some verses. We're going to go deep here, so please stay with me, all right? That Jesus talked more about the gospel of the kingdom than the gospel of just salvation. Stay with me, okay? So don't lose me. I'm giving you like Bible college stuff right now. So don't, okay. Okay, this is what I tell the Bible college. Like, we're scuba diving right now, okay? So tell your guy next to you, man up, okay? Okay, take the floaties off. Tell him, take the floaties off, bro, okay? No, I want the floaty. Come on, bro, okay? You should be eating meat of the word. You've been drinking milk too long, okay? You want lechita, you know? Give me a little milk. No, bro, you don't need milk. You need the meat. You need some protein. Matter of fact, tell the guy next to you, take your protein. Just say, take your protein, all right? All right, okay. So here's the meat, okay? Jesus talked about salvation, yes, but he spent more time talking about the kingdom. He was trying to teach everybody the kingdom of God, not just, hey, when you die, make sure you go to heaven. Bye. He said, no, I've come to bring salvation, yes, but I also have come so that you can live the kingdom of God right now. Say amen. So watch this. I'm going to read you these verses so you can see it here. Okay, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. It's in your notes. And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the what? Underline that there, the gospel. So he's preaching the kingdom. So he's in the synagogues. He wasn't just teaching, hey, when you die, make sure you go to heaven, which is important. So I'm not trying to diminish that. That's like love, you're in, man. You got saved. Now what? Do you just go live your life like you want? No, now we're supposed to do what? Build the kingdom, okay? He preached the kingdom, and then what did he do? Healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, because we never make a doctrine of one scripture. Here's another one. Then Jesus went about all the cities and all the villages. Let me say this. Jesus went about all the cities, Irvine, Fullerton. He went to Buena Park. He went all the villages. He went to Anaheim. He went to Inland Empire. He went to Orange County. He went to Hawaii. Come on, somebody. He went to all the cities. And what was he teaching the synagogues? Preaching the gospel of the what? The kingdom. And healing every kind of sickness and disease among the people. So he was like going to every city preaching the principles of the kingdom. Why? Because we're not just called to prepare people to go to heaven one day. We're called to establish the kingdom. Now, what is the kingdom? Write this down. The kingdom, write this down. This is not your notes. The kingdom is a place, but it's also a way of living. The kingdom is a place, but the kingdom is a way of living. Oh, here we go. Because they asked Jesus, where's this kingdom? He says, not of this world. But everywhere he went, they saw the kingdom because the kingdom is a way of living. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, let's go. I'm a part of the kingdom because there's a way I live. And the way I expunge my inners, who I am on the inside, it establishes the kingdom. The kingdom is a way of life. Yes, the kingdom, when we go to heaven, the kingdom of heaven, when we die, we're going to go to heaven. But here on earth, it's a way of living. You know when someone is a part of the kingdom by the way they live. So why is the kingdom master? Oh, actually, write this down. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Write this down. Is how you live the kingdom principles. I'm gonna put it up here. The gospel of the kingdom. So what was he preaching the kingdom? Like, remember he told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on where? On earth as it is where? Because we're trying to live out these kingdom principles, not in heaven. We're trying to live them out where? On earth. Like, listen to me. Everybody look at me. You don't need to be a man of God when you get to heaven. Because some guys are like, well, I'll get it all right when I go to heaven. No! We need you to get it right now, okay? So that we can establish the kingdom here where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. So the kingdom is a way of life. Write this down, point number one here. Another point here. I got a lot of point number ones, I guess, but write this down, okay? Actually, no, let me read this. Actually, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but John 3:1-6, how do you enter the kingdom? Nicodemus said, how do you enter this? He says, unless a man be born again. Right? And what does it mean being born again? Well, that's, of course, salvation. You're saved, but you're part of the kingdom, right? And how are we part of the kingdom? We accept Jesus as our Savior. So that's why last night, Pastor Mike made the call for anybody that hasn't been saved. That's why every Sunday, every opportunity, we're trying to bring people to Jesus to be a part of the kingdom. But turn the page here. Number one, write this down up here really quick, is how do we become this kingdom man? Is by becoming and following what Jesus called me to be. Jesus is not trying to give you a bunch of rules and religion. He's trying to give us a way of life. Did you hear what I just said? He's trying to give us a way of life that leads to abundance, leads to the kings and priests type of living, but it's a way of life. And when we're building our lives as men, we are living the kingdom principles because it is the principles that never fail and the principles that lead to the things God has for us. Now, you ready for this? Every man right now is living by some type of kingdom. There's some type of way of life you're doing it right now. But you're either doing it your kingdom or his kingdom. And you can talk to somebody that has some age, you know, look for some age and ask them, which way would you do it? Would you do it your way or God's way? Which way has been better for you? God's way. I'm telling you right now. Because you think, I'm going to do it myself. I'm the exception, bro. You ain't the exception, bro. You're gonna waste your life and throw it away. Someone say the kingdom way. Number two, write this down. I got to wrap this up. A kingdom man, write this down. Number two, a kingdom man is a citizen of heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. You need to know this, that when we operate as kingdom men, we don't live out of our kingdom, we live being a part of God's kingdom, okay? So let's stop right there. Give me another 4-minute countdown within your tables. I know we talked about malehood. Now, what do you think, talk about, stops guys from living the kingdom way? I mean, like, let me frame it this way. Why don't people get it? Why do guys still think, if I sleep around, if I make more money, if I lie, cheat, and steal, I'm gonna build a great life? It's not working, it's not gonna work. What's stopping guys from being a kingdom man and encourage each other of being that kingdom man? 4 minutes, ready, set, go. Go, 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 go. Man, that's so good, because that's true. The people we follow, we put them on pedestals. And we think, man, that is it. If I could be like that. And careful how I say this, because this is being streamed. You know what I mean? Turn off the stream. Just joking. Yeah. I don't really talk. I always want to be your pastor. I always want to. One thing I loathe is name dropping or ever trying to. So you just need to know that if you're new to Freedom House, just know that I walk in humility. I believe that's the greatest place of power is humility. To God be the glory. But I've been I'm a pastor, but I'm also a business professional. I have a business, and that has allowed me for the past 20 years. I've been in real estate and past 22 years in investments, longer than I've been a pastor. So over those time, you make relationships. And I was a private banker. Also have my Series 7, Series 66. So I dealt with a lot of high wealth clients. And so I've met probably a lot of people that are known as the influencers. I've been with them in business transactions. I don't party on it, but sometimes our roads collide. And I'm telling you guys, The pictures versus the real life are two totally different things, bro. Two totally different things. Totally different things. Like totally, okay? Totally. And just trust me, maybe I'll say it offline, but trust me that the life they portray through a little screen called social media or a YouTube channel versus the life that they live, the marriage that we counsel, and the, like, you would be like running to the altar, right? But they have to keep an image because that's their business, right? And so you're so right, and you have to, and it's tempting because it's like, man, am I doing something wrong? They look like they're having tons of fun, and but it's deceiving. It's the devil, and I have it in my notes, but I don't have time together. But the Bible says that the devil masquerades as an angel of light. It looks like that's the better way, that we're missing out, but it's not true. We're not missing out. I'm telling you now, back to what Ernie had mentioned, better live in a tent with your wife. But I said like this, even better to be blessed, go ahead and have the house, have the stuff, but to have the blessing of the Lord. I want it God's way. Come on, somebody. I want it God's way. Say amen. Say God's way. Because the Bible says, you know, you don't need God to get rich. Like, people are rich and they don't have God. So, but don't equate success by having riches. God's bigger than money and houses. God's bigger than that. Okay, he's bigger than 20-inch spinners. Is that still a thing? No. Okay, he's bigger than that. No, not 20s, 22s. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I don't know what a thing is now, right? God's bigger than that. And so they can, I mean, you know. So the point I'm making is, if you attribute that as success, then you missed it. Okay, but here's how you attribute it. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one wealthy, but he adds no sorrow to it. So I want to be blessed, but I don't want the sorrow with it. And when you do it with God, there's no sorrow on that thing. Come on, shout amen. Come on, shout amen. I want my family, my marriage, my kids, the stuff money can't buy, right? Hell. And so that's a great point, bro. I just wanted to mention that, because that's very true, man. And it's not easy, it's a fight. So here's the next conversation, then we're gonna take a break. Is there is a difference between a man and a kingdom man. There's a big difference. And you can choose to do it your way, which is, well, I'm just gonna be a man, I'm gonna do it, or you can become a kingdom man, which is the better way. You are not the same when you're a part of the kingdom, of the way of life. You are not the same as just another guy out in the world. There's something different on your life. There's a touch of God on your life. You become a kingdom man. And that is a transferring, the Bible says, we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness and we're transferred into the kingdom of light. I'm not walking in darkness, I'm walking with a new light, a new level of vision, a new level of just being able to see. And so this is something that's important. And what that is because when we become a kingdom man, now we're part of the kingdom. So real quick, let me just read this. I wrote in your notes, come with me to point three. Here's the difference between the citizen of heaven, citizens of this world, being a kingdom man or just a man of this world. I would probably even rewrite my own point here, a man of the world or a man of the kingdom. And I'm just gonna read this and then I'm gonna have you do a last table talk here. But a citizen of the world or a man of the world, they serve the God of their appetite. They look just to fulfill their flesh every day, every weekend. That's how you know you're not a kingdom man, you're a man of the world. But a citizen of heaven or a kingdom man hungers and thirsts for righteousness' sake. In other words, I want to be right with God in everything I do because I want the blessing of God on my life, and the blessing of God will always take you further than the blessing of the world. Say amen. Okay, the next one here, a citizen of the world, they brag about shameful things. That's how you know you're a man of the world. They brag about wickedness, greed. I ripped that person off, evil, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant. You don't need God. You know, they're boastful. They're inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. That's Romans 1, 29 through 32. This is how you know if you're a man of the world. But a kingdom man brags on the goodness of God. Come on, somebody, right? A citizen of the world, they think only about this life here on earth. That's it. YOLO. Well, it's not YOLO because you are going to die and either spend eternity in heaven or hell. Come on, somebody. Right? So they think their life, they only think about their concentration, their energies, their goals, their desires are all set like fence posts in concrete on fleshly pleasures and earthly things. But turn the page here. But a citizen of heaven, they are heavenly minded. In other words, you're like, God, what are you doing in my life? last table conversation, then I got to wrap it up here because we're going to do a Q&A here in a moment. We'll have a break. But let's go back to our tables and talk about that right there. Like, what is that mindset that needs to change from a man of the world to being a man of the kingdom? Ready, set, go. The way I teach it to our Bible college discipleship is, right, if you want to write it down, you can, but when you first get saved, you're reading your Bible. Because you want to read it. What is all in it? But then when you mature, you go from reading your Bible to feeding on your Bible. Okay, you're feeding on it. That's the, like, let me chew on that. You're just like, Like, you know when you eat good food, you're just like, it's like, hey, breathe, chew it, taste it. You follow what I'm saying? So if I can encourage some of you men, feed on it. Chew on it a little bit. Be like, God, how do I need to apply it in my life? That's great. Check me on this, Lord. And don't worry, God will hit you. Two people. I said, God will hit you. He'll hit you. You'll be like, wow, yeah, you're right. You'll be like, because, you know, sometimes you're like, you know, they need this one. No, you need it. But anyhow, all right. One person told me, you're only as sick as your secrets. That's heavy, huh? Chew on that a little bit. Yeah. The pastor that had been in ministry, and he tells me, he says, Josiah, you're only as sick as your secrets. And I'm like, because the Bible says that the devil is the kingdom of darkness. So whatever you keep in the dark is where he has power over you. Yeah, so whatever you, as long as you keep it in the dark, the principality of darkness has power over it. When you bring it into the light, he loses his power. Tell your guy next year, you're only as sick as your secrets. Tell him to say, you're only as sick as your secrets. Hello. I want you to go around the table and talk about, I'm just joking. Let's go around. Why don't you share your seat? I'm joking. Since we're on the subject, next 4 minutes. Put 40 minutes on the next one. I'm joking. Hey, you know what, guys? Next year, we're doing Friday night, Saturday morning, breakout, Saturday night. We're going to add to this, okay? Yeah, that's it. And one of these years, I wait for the day, not that I'm competitive or anything, just a little bit maybe, I'm going to tell the women's marriage, say, hey, the guys, we doubled, like, the women's conference. Like, we're like, no clash for that. All right, come on. How many know we can? Sorry. The man conference, we're such leaders. We, like, packed it out. Like, you know, because, anyway, I'm not, you know how it is. All right. Amen, 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 amen. But, okay, so I know what time. What time we're supposed to end today? Anybody know? What time? What time's on the schedule? Was there no time? I put two? Okay. I put one? Two. It's online. So I'm not, if I go till two, nobody gets mad because I put two. All right. Okay, cool. All right, here's what I want to do. Let me give you this last point because I have seven traits on a kingdom man, and I don't want to blast through that. You tracking with me, okay? I do want to give you a little break, and obviously we're going to do some, and we got a great panel with our guest who's going to come, and it's going to be awesome. I always want to have more to give than the time we have, so just please know that, all right? It's like when you cook food, right? You're like, oh, we don't have enough. I want to have more. So you're like, no, that's it. I'm done. I want no more. And then my mom will say, eat another bowl. Yeah. And then she'll say, take some home. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'd be like, all right, for lunch tomorrow. But okay, let me give you this third point. Write this down. Every man, everyone is a part of two kingdoms. Every man is a part of two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms and everyone belongs to one. There are two kingdoms. How many kingdoms? And everyone belongs to one of those. Everybody belongs. You don't get to choose, I'm a part of no kingdom. No, on this one, you're a part of either one of these two. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. This is not on your notes, but just write this down on your notes. Colossians 1:13. Put it on the screens for me, team, if you can. The Bible says it like this. It says, he has delivered us from where? The power of darkness. And conveyed us or transferred us into what? The kingdom of his son, right? Of the son of his love. So another translation would say the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. And so everybody's a part of these two kingdoms. Either you're a part of the kingdom of darkness or you're a part of the kingdom of God. Either you're serving God or you're serving the devil. That's just real talk, okay? And I don't want you walking around tomorrow at work saying, "All you sinners serve the devil." Okay, chill out. Chill out. Chill out. Okay, chill out. Okay, it ain't going to go very well for you, all right? Okay. So, but you need to know this as you come to understand the Bible, that when you serve God, you are now a part of his kingdom, his ways, and his protection and power over your life. Like there is a difference. There is a distinction. I'm not to say that when we walk around and people that are not saved that we're judging them, but you should feel a sense of value. Are you hearing me? You should feel a sense of covering and protection, that when I serve God, I got something that the world couldn't give me. There's something in my life, on my heart, there's something in my kids, there's something on my future that nothing else can give me, come on somebody, because I'm a part of God's kingdom. And it's a better kingdom, and it's a more powerful kingdom, and it's a more beneficial kingdom, and it's a more fulfilling kingdom. And that's the one I want in my life, say amen. So everybody is a part of one of those two kingdoms. Now, you're at Kingdom Man Conference, right? And so when we're here at Kingdom Man Conference, that's the kingdom that we are called to be a part of. Now, you might ask yourself, why don't people like open to that? Here's why. Jump down to 2 Corinthians 4:4, New Living Translation. The Bible says this. It says, actually, no, Ephesians 2:1-2. Let's read this. I'm going to read this here. Go previous verse. Ephesians says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying who? The devil. The commander of the powers in the unseen world, the prince of power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." So when someone says, "I don't want to do God's work," the Bible's telling you it's because they are obeying the devil's desires. Now again, don't be like, "It's because you're the devil." Chill, okay? They don't even see it. Go to the next verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4, New Living Translation. It says, "Satan, who is the god of this world," notice lowercase g, right? "God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." So everybody look at me. So that is why some people, you're like, "Why don't you get it?" Because Satan has blinded them. He has put like a veil over their eyes and they can't see it. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because when you surrender to God for real, it was like this. And you were like, "Oh my goodness, I cannot believe that I had been doing that nonsense for that long." They still have the veil. So when you're a part of the kingdom, the veil gets removed. And back to my point, my brother said over here, it's countercultural, because it's easier to go with the current, which is the current of destruction. Okay. Yes, it's on a path to destruction, unless you get off of that path and say, "No, I'm going to the path of destiny, the path of purpose, the path of God's blessing, the path of breaking generational strongholds." Come on, somebody. And if you don't, then you just repeat the same dysfunction, right? 2 Corinthians 11:14, the scripture says this, "But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of what? Light." So he disguised, notice he's not an angel, he doesn't disguise as an angel of darkness. So everybody look at me. He disguises as an angel of what? So he pretends to make it look good. And he's really good at making it look good. He knows how to do that real to make it look real good. He disguises it. Are you following me? So that's why sin looks good. If it didn't look good, nobody would do it. So it looks great, but it's a disguise. Is a hook in it, and it's going to hook you, and it's going to get you addicted. It's going to get you in a place where you'll never be able to get out. That they say sin will always keep you longer than you want and cost you more than you thought. Come on, somebody. And we have to break it. Say amen, all right? And so we got to break that. James chapter 4. Let's read 1 John 2:15. I'm going to wrap it up here. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. When you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Everybody look at me real quick. When it's talking about world, the Greek word there is cosmos, which means the way of the world, okay? Okay, it's not talking about like, I'm not telling you to not love the world. I hate the world. No, 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 come on, chill out, okay? It's talking about the way of the world, the culture, the what seems like the way a man should be. It says, when you love that, you don't have God's love. Verse 16, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and the pride of our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from where? This world, right? When you plug into that system. 17, and this world is fading away, and along with everything that people crave. Everybody look at me. This world is headed towards destruction.
Yeah, it is.
When you don't serve God, it's headed towards destruction. It's like, it's a sinking ship. And why do men stay on that sinking ship? Like, when are we going to get it that is not the way you build a legacy, a family? That's not the way you build fulfillment. How long is it going to take for us if I say, God, I'm not going to do it the way of the world. I'm going to do it God's way. Come on, somebody. I'm going to be a kingdom man in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.